Meeting number two for the month of August, and it's kind of an agenda that's kind of light a little bit, wasn't it?
Well, it was actually a heavy agenda because we had the budget.
Of course.
So there wasn't a lot. If you look at the agenda, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot on there, but right. We had to abbreviate our budget season this year just because of the way that the dates fell and the information that we get still rolling in. We're still getting information, so that way we can compile the numbers. We are only going to have two specific readings that we have scheduled. There'll be time to have a special meeting if we need to then that following week. But what a weird year this has been. And I was telling the council, it's strange even for budget season because with that extra leap year day, it changed everything. So now we've got five Mondays in the month of August, mm-hmm. which means that the next hearing that we would have would be September 8th, which means that the following meeting would have been September 20th or 21st, and we have to have our budget technically in by September 20th. So usually we do two budget hearings in September, but we couldn't do that this year. We have one in August, and then we have our budget retreat. So last night we basically threw our budget retreat into our first reading of the budget, or the ordinance that would approve the budget, and then we'll go ahead and we'll bring it back to the council a second time. So they're going to have to really be on their ball or on the ball and diligent and get all their corrections made and changes made for this next meeting. And like I said, we've got enough time for a special meeting if need be. We've got a planning commission meeting that next week, but we could find time to go ahead and work around that.
That darn calendar gets out of whack every now and then, doesn't it?
This year is crazy. I mean, it just we had, you know, the one thing that I told the council again last night, just we had 27 pay periods. Usually mm-hmm. you have 26 pay periods, but because of that leap year day, we had 27 this year. Mm-hmm. So we had to budget for that extra pay day, and normally that's not something that you do. So just strange all the way around the board. Very odd year.
Let's get to the agenda from last night. We'll start first. Anything on citizens' comments last night?
I don't think there was anything last night.
Announcements, recognitions.
Ike Brown is retiring August 28th, and they're having a retirement party from 3 to 5 p.m. open house in the fire training room upstairs at the city building. So I think it's open to everyone that wants to come and bid him farewell and wish him a great retirement. I'm sure he's excited to get out and do some stuff on his own and not have to worry about dealing with Nate every day. And
if only it was that easy for my wife. I'm retiring, Nate. Right,
right. On the 28th, that's a Friday. That's a week from Friday, and 3 to 5 over at the fire training room. And come on by and say thanks for how many years? How many years again?
So I want to say, and don't quote me on this, but I want to say it is just under 40 years. Under 40. And it may be exactly at 40. I know that he was hired prior to 1984 because the rules regarding pensions were different. And so that's, you know, one of the things that you have to take a look at. But so I do know for sure that he was a pre-1984 hire, which 40 years, 37 years, 38, 39, whatever it is, you know, that is a long time to be at one place. So we really do appreciate his service to the city of mm-hmm. McCook. And he's been doing it for a long, long time, and he deserves a happy retirement.
I take it he and Joel Smith have been talking a lot lately. Joel going to fill his spot?
Yeah, Joel's going to be coming in next week. So Joel will start next week. He'll have a week with Chief Brown before Chief Brown leaves. And it'll give him a chance kind of to get a little bit of a lay of the land. So we appreciate the fact that they're both willing to work with one another and kind of overlap their schedules. If nothing else, just to get some of the basics. There's a lot of stuff involved. And even though it's law enforcement agencies, you know, two law enforcement agencies, they're not similar as far as, you know, the way that they are obviously funded. You know, they operate differently. They have different scheduling and things like that. So it'll be good to have Ike there to kind of give a couple of pointers to Joel. And Joel, you know, I think he's ready to rock and roll. I haven't talked to him for a week or so, but we're looking forward to having him. I think that he's going to be a great addition.
Yep, no question about that. Public hearing.
Yes, this actually was a continuation of the Planning Commission meeting that was held on August 10th, And at the Planning Commission meeting, there was an application that was presented by Eugene and Joan Coe, and their developer, or the entity that was helping them develop this project, was Miller & Associates Consulting. They were asking to subdivide a lot that's located just along Drive 716. It's actually property that's already owned by Eugene and Joan Coe, just south of Drive 716. That's Gene and Joan's commercial business there. And so they're wanting to split that into two lots, but since it's already been split out once, the rules say you're supposed to actually go back in and do a minor subdivision. So I couldn't do an administrative split. We had to do a minor subdivision. And we looked at this. The one thing that we looked at was, well, first of all, we wanted to make sure that it met all the zoning regulations, and it did. You know, it's got the required road frontage and the required size and all those kinds of things. But the thing that we really looked at, and we took it in the context of some of the discussions we've had prior, particularly we had Craig Bennett come in and talk about annexation. We also had talked about another development that occurred on some A.M. Bishop Trust property just to the west. So that was that antenna, or that communication tower, that was split out here a month ago or so. We wanted to make sure that if they split this, their intent is to go ahead, and I should have said this to begin with, the Coes intend on building a residential house just to the south of the commercial property they have. So they need to split it, because you can't have a residential property on a commercial lot. So they got to split it so they can do what they want to do. The zoning right now is ag. Which you can have a house in the ag district, but the future zoning is for industrial or commercial in that area. But the council and the planning commission both decided that everything else in that area is residential. So the Bishop land that we did the preliminary plat for, and then just to the south, that's all residential, you know, as far as future land use. And the way that things are growing out there, you know, you see a lot of residential, you know, in the future. All you have to go is a little bit further to the west on Drive 383, and you can see some of those houses that have been built out there. So the council approved the request for the minor subdivision. And there was a subdivision agreement, too, that was attached to it that basically said that if there is an annexation, they won't protest the annexation, kind of in concert with what we've talked about over the last few weeks, especially with Craig Bennett. But those are the same things that we've done with other subdivisions that have been popping up out there as well, too.
So, yeah, will you meet one more time with this?
This is done. Yep, this one's a done deal. Okay. So they're good to go.
Consent agenda. He had just a couple of items there. Anything of discussion?
No, nothing. Last night.
Nothing. Okay.
Yep.
Moving on the regular agenda, and this is ordinances,
dealing
with budget, right?
This one. So the first ordinance we had was actually
sidewalk cafes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Matt came to Nate quite a while ago. Probably a couple months ago, really, and he was wanting to expand his liquor license, basically, outside. You have food out there and have drinks, you know, kind of a... See it, Lincoln, Omaha, Fort Collins, another place that does it quite a bit, Colorado area. And so he wanted to kind of bring that, maybe open up that as a new revenue source for Sainert's, and, you know, also other... Mm-hmm. eating establishments that serve alcohol there. So, you know, he's just trying to make it so there's another 6 feet?
We need to make sure we've got 6 feet of passageway. Yeah, so that way we meet ADA. But he'd be able to extend his property. I want to say, you know, the fence that he would have for his cafe would be 12 feet out from his building. I've got the drawing, but we didn't move forward. We talked about trying to get an agreement with Matt Dunn so that way he could open up for the end of September, but it just didn't work out. You know, so I'm sure there'll probably be an application and an agreement later on. But like Jared said, you know, it's going to give everybody that's got a restaurant on the bricks or in a basically 2-street radius. It'd be Norris and then West 1st Street. Bill Lesko was there last night on behalf of Citadelli. It's going to give them an opportunity to go ahead and utilize city right of way. So that way they can have outdoor dining. They're limited as far as that. And so they will be able to do that. And also it has a provision for serving alcohol at the same time they're eating. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to keep it limited to eating establishments. And you know, that was actually at the recommendation of Chief Brown. And it makes sense. You know, we want to make sure that people get to enjoy, you know, a meal with a beer, but it probably isn't the best way for a bar to operate if they're going to be extending out onto the sidewalk. Obviously, you got to think about liability and those kinds of things. And so it passed last night on second reading. The rules were suspended, and I'm sure we'll probably see a few of the businesses that are downtown. And it's not just St. Ertz, El Porto, Tequila's, Fuller's. Mm-hmm. I know that Braxton's. I'm trying to think of who else. Citadelli. Anybody that's in that two-block radius there, they'd all be able to do that if they wanted to.
All right. Exciting news there.
Yeah, it's a neat idea. I'm glad that Matt brought that forward, and the council is really excited, I think. It gives people a chance to kind of experience a big city feel in a small town.
Yeah. So they can get start this when?
Well, so we're still drafting the application and the agreement. I was sitting down with Nate Mustin on Wednesday of last week trying to get everything hammered out, and we went over to talk to Matt. And like I said, probably not ready quite yet, but we'll have something, an application ready. Probably if somebody wanted to bring something back at that September 8th meeting, we should have something done by then.
And the businesses will have to get a revision on their liquor license as well if they're going to serve alcohol out there, because right now it's just on the inside. So
right.
There's still a lot. It's not going to be like flip a switch there, you know. Now we're outside drinking and eating a donut, you know. Yeah. But, you know.
That's actually not a bad combo. That sounds pretty good.
And with September, October, it is going to get cold. And it's not going to be fun, you know, outside to eat and drink. It's not going to be all that fun.
Yeah, there's some days in January that you...
Tell us about it, Jared.
Some days in January where you can have, you know, short sleeve shirts on. You know,
that is true. That is true. Yeah, we've had a couple of nice Januaries here recently. But yeah, I do think, you know, finding that balance between, you know, making sure that you know, the businesses have this as an opportunity, then also making sure that we're looking out for the remainder of the public. That was the big thing. And I think that the ordinance achieves that.
Next up, ordinance dealing with the adoption of the budget.
Yes, everybody's favorite time of the year. And
I know Earl just got left here, and they were talking about meeting with all their different departments, how fun it was, and I'm sure for the city council,
Yeah, you know, it's... So I can never take the credit for this because Leanne Doak, she sits in there and works on this tirelessly, and she does it for hours and hours on end. Our department heads and supervisors and staff members, they all do a good job too of contributing. They all put a lot of time into it, but nobody puts in the time that Leanne does. I'll go up in the weekends or in the evenings and I'll work for a little while, and she'll be working away in her office, and I'll leave and she's still working away in the office. Then I'll go and grab a bite to eat and she's still working in the office with the light on. And then I'll go home and go to bed and she's still working with the light on. And so I can't explain how much time she puts in on this. It really is impressive. But this year, obviously with COVID, it's been an interesting year. And we prefaced everything, you know, at the very beginning by saying, hey, we need to make sure that we are realistic in what we do this year. We looked at what we had as far as, you know, general fund expenses and how to prioritize it. And so I made the recommendation, as far as the budget goes, to probably, you know, at this point in time, not focus on a lot of capital outlay. You know, last year we purchased some equipment and we do have some debt against that equipment, loader, ambulance, those kinds of things. We're paying that off, so we're going to have to continue to pay that off. But as far as new capital, we tried to avoid putting any new capital in there this year. last night I just kind of went through a rundown with the council as far as revenue, and then we had the council or the department heads come up and kind of go through each of their budgets, expenditures, any major changes. You know, there aren't a lot of major changes this year throughout the budget. It was pretty much the same. Everybody was trying to keep everything constant. The one thing, you know, that we've struggled with is trying to figure out what that revenue is going to look like. The county, you know, is still, you know, working on you know, property tax protests and things like that. And so they don't have to certify a valuation number to us until the next, I think it might be August 19th or 20th. I can't remember what it is. So that's not a number that we have, but we understand that the county is still kind of working through that on their end. So we didn't have a good new number. We are just using the same number that we had last year as far as property tax revenue. Sales tax has been all over the board. We knew that it would be down in the months of March and April, and we were keeping our fingers crossed that it'd come back for the months of May and June, and they have. I think that it was up 3% in May, and then I think it was up another 5% in June. And I think that that can be attributed to a couple of different things. I think that internet sales tax collection probably is one of the big reasons why you're seeing those numbers up. And also, I think people are staying here in McCook and shopping in McCook. If you look at the numbers from Omaha, Lincoln, Kearney, and Grand Island, you can see that they've had a fairly large hit as far as their sales go, which makes sense. Those are probably the areas that have been hit maybe harder than other areas. And so people are maybe a little less likely to go ahead and travel, you know, for shopping purposes. As far as our electric utility, that's a big one. We actually receive a pretty big chunk of our revenue pie from MPPD, you know, when they rent out our infrastructure. And originally they were down, I think, around 8%. I sat in on a conference call with them here, I think it was in April, and they were telling us kind of what they had noticed. And they were down about 8% at that time. But I think that our numbers are starting to kind of get back to normal. People are utilizing electricity. And you know, you think back, you know, to March and April, you had schools that were closed, colleges closed, those kinds of things. And so the use was probably down. But we're getting closer to where we were. And so that's good to see. A question was asked about the hotel occupation tax, and we're down a little bit in that, but we're starting to kind of pull back even. And so we actually are budgeting the same amount that we had budgeted last year, which was $120,000. As far as highway allocation funds, those are going to be down $110,000, and that's your gas tax money. And people haven't been traveling as much, and so that's the reason why. Community Betterment Fund, we budgeted that down because people just weren't playing Keno. And we can't make assumptions that the number's going to go right back to where it was beforehand. So we budgeted $40,000 down off of that. Couple good things. We are in receipt of safety dividend checks in the amount of about $75,000. So that was good. And then one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we stressed, even in hard times, I want to make sure that we build up our reserves. And the auditor has said you want to have 3 months worth of reserves. If everything goes to heck in a handbasket, you want to make sure that you've got money there to operate for a 3 month period of time. So we did put $75,000 into our general fund reserve. That brings that total up to $1,050,000 or $1,025,000. Which, when we started putting that money aside, I mean, it's been a labor, but we're at least a month, maybe if not more, over our operating expenses, and so those numbers are starting to get better and better. And I didn't want to skimp on that because we don't know what's going to happen this next year, and I don't want to make assumptions that we don't know whether they're true or not. You know, as far as expenses go, you know, one of the things that we've been working on our end is we've been doing a wage study, and this was something that was actually part of the negotiated contract last year at the FOP. We knew that we were probably not where we needed to be on wages, but I wanted to not just do a wage study of the FOP. I wanted to make sure that it was a comprehensive study that covered all the departments. And so in January or February, we had a firm out of Lincoln come in and start reviewing the wages. And they compared us to 12 different cities that are similar to us. They can't be two times, or they're two times larger than us, at least two times larger than us, or a half our size. So I think Scotts Bluff was the largest town that we were compared to. And I think that maybe Ogallala was the smallest town that we were compared to. And then all ranges in between. And I wanted to go east and I wanted to go west because I wanted to get a really good idea competitively of where we're at. And this is important because it's regulated by the state. You know, if there was ever a challenge, it would go through the Commission for Industrial Relations, and they could say, yeah, you aren't where you need to be. You need to bump yourself up. So I want to do that ourselves, you know, autonomously without anybody telling us what we're supposed to do. But what I found was we're probably a little bit lower than where we should be in comparison to the other communities that we were compared to. In some cases, we were in the bottom third as far as pay. And so on the wage side at first this year, I was thinking, okay, I don't know exactly how I want to play this other than the fact that I wanted to make sure that we had 2% that was being proposed for cost of living. We also have merit that we have in our handbook and longevity that we have in our handbook. And after going through looking at the most recent numbers, I put that in there for the council to decide on whether they want to include the merit. That merit was about $26,000. Which you know is a significant sum, but not as large a sum as I thought it was going to be, and that usually goes to our younger employees that have families and whatnot. Most of our employees, if I think like the Public Works Department and some of those other departments, they've already maxed out, so they can only receive the 2%. So anyway, I built that in there, and the council can decide on whether they want to keep that or not. My recommendation was to go ahead and keep it in there, but that's their decision. As far as police, you know, we didn't have any big changes in there. One of the things we talked about was overtime. We've had a large increase in the overtime budget this year, and that's because we've been short on dispatchers. So we've had four dispatchers that have had to handle a lot of that duty. We've hired two new dispatchers. I think one is off on her own now, and one is either off on her own or about to be off on her own. And then we're in the process of hiring two more. So hopefully we can reduce that overtime budget. And then also there are some needed expenses. I know that Ike had a mobile data unit for all the vehicles that he wanted to have included in there. And that might come in as a grant, but that we budgeted as a general fund expense. We also had some office maintenance costs that required his budget to go up a little bit. There was a computer backup, a CAD system, some of those things. On the fire side, you know, we had a bump up this last year because we added one new firefighter paramedic, and that's been very good. Mark talked about it last night, and hopefully it's going to reduce overtime, even though there's some built-in overtime just with the way their schedule is set up. But hopefully we're going to see some cost savings there. And as far as capital outlay, it was very limited to just safety gear. I think he had some new turnout gear as the only new capital outlay. And that's one thing we can't scrimp on is the safety gear. We got to make sure that we're providing life safety gear for our people. As far as building and zoning, there was nothing really new there. Library, Jody gave an overview. One of the things that she had mentioned was the HVAC system. We're still kind of working on that right now. We did have an overage you know, those things happen. And this has been a difficult project. It's more complicated. When they built that library, they actually built it around the HVAC system. So you couldn't just pull out the HVAC system. You had to basically piecemeal everything, and so it's been kind of a complicated process, but there weren't any real cost changes in her budget. Senior center, we've had some increases in food expenses similar to last year. We've also had a number of individuals that have chosen to receive home-delivered meals because of COVID, so our numbers are way up, which is great. We did talk about the possibility of increasing the contribution that each person makes. We're the lowest, actually, in our district as far as the contribution to meals, and so there may be a suggestion made to council to consider increasing that maybe a quarter for both congregate and then also home-delivered meals. And then also there's a grant that we are eligible for that would get us a new bus. Yep. And so we're in the process of trying to work through that. We'd have to pay $66,000 down, but the federal government will reimburse us the entire amount. So
she did mention that would help with some of the fuel costs because it is more efficient too. So that'd be huge as well.
Yep.
And I don't think they're going to be. They were thinking about opening like
September 8th.
September 8th. Is it still?
Yeah. So for right now, it's in the newsletter, and we're just kind of playing it by ear.
Yeah.
I think that as far as meals, that may be a different story, but getting people in to utilize it. I know that there are people that are wanting to play cards. People
right.
that are wanting
yeah.
to do those kinds of things. It's a place to socialize.
Right.
So
right.
we know that. And so we're trying to figure out a way to make sure that we can get some use out of that building. Kyle did a good presentation. That was actually the shortest I've ever heard Kyle talk. They were all timing one another last night, and I think that Jesse was the loser or the winner. He went the longest, if I understand correctly. But Kyle talked about his departments, and really there weren't a lot of changes in his departments overall. Cemetery, parks, ballparks, airport, pool, just not a lot of changes because we're trying to toe the line, and there are some capital expenses that we need to make sure that we continue to pay off. Like I said, the street sweeper, loader, those are some examples that we've got debt on, but we've got that accounted for in this year's budget. Solid waste, there wasn't much change there as well either. It was pretty flat. And then water and sewer, the big thing on the water side was the possibility of a new water plant operator. And we figured that's around $53,000. Jesse kind of explained that they struggle trying to figure out how to man that because it's got to be manned at all times, or somebody's got to be available to man that at all times. And especially right now, he stressed during the summers, it is extremely busy and we have huge fluctuations in our water use, and there's got to be somebody there that's able to go ahead and toggle on and off the wells and those kinds of things. And I know that he sets his alarm clock for every couple of hours during the middle of the night so he can remotely access the data, and then he can say, okay, yeah, I need to do this, this, or this. I also know there are times where he has to run down there in the middle of the night to make those changes, and the other guys do that as well too. And so that was the one new position or the one new addition that we are talking about bringing in, if that works. We are going to get all that information for water and sewer off to our financial analysts so that way they can determine rates and whatnot. And that'll be coming here in the next few weeks probably as we discuss this further along. That's it in a nutshell. I can't hardly get through all of it. It was a very short. Usually, our when we go through and do our budget retreats, usually it's 4 hours, 5 hours. We basically got through all that in an hour and a half last night.
Record time.
Yeah.
Record time. Now, you will be, it's just that's in the first reading.
Yes.
First reading is to come back here in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Reading number two.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
We had our pay ordinance as well,
okay.
too. And there were no changes to that as far as we build 2% into that every year. That's the cost of living. And the reason why, that 2% number is constant, we have union contracts that have minimum and maximums as far as cost of living. So it can't exceed 4.5%. But it's got to be more than 2%. And that was bargained years before. That was even before I was city attorney. I don't even know how long those have been in existence. But since 2% is on the floor, I want to try to treat our other employees the same way. And so we try to keep 2% across the board. And our hope is that it keeps us in line and competitive with similarly situated entities. So,
anything on council comments last night?
I didn't remember to bring my stuff.
Mayor wanted to thank city staff and, well, mostly Leanne for getting the budget prepared.
Okay.
I think that was pretty much it, though.
Yeah, I can't remember anything else. If there was anything, I left it on my desk.
No problem. Next council meeting is going to be coming up September
8th.
So it'll
be the day.
It's going to seem like it's a couple of weeks away.
I told you five Mondays in August. That doesn't happen all the time. And so that's really kind of messed with our schedule, that and the leap day.
That's that the day after, okay, Labor Day?
Yeah, so Labor Day's on the 7th. So
okay,
the next time we
Tuesday.
Meet is the 8th. So,
Tuesday.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time till you see us. Sorry,
that's
Rich.
Okay. No problem. And Nate and I were talking before the show started that he's going to try his best to fix all this this college football stuff, aren't you?
Man, I'm going to go nuts without college football. I've already decided that Iowa State's my team this year. I've got to root for somebody. I can't root for anybody in the SEC or ACC. And as far as Big 12 schools, I don't know. Not a lot of teams that I really like from there. A lot of bad taste in my mouth from back in the golden days. So I think I'm going to probably go with Iowa State.
It'd be weird. It'd be really, really, really weird.
Man, I wish that they all would have gotten together, all the conference would have gotten together to make this decision. But, it's just the way it is. So